WCF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. It has been 12 days now since Danilo Cavalcante escaped prison in Pennsylvania, but police say the convicted killer is still out there. State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says they need the public's help.
We remain concerned that Cavalcante will attempt to steal another vehicle to facilitate his escape. As a reminder, we ask for the public's help by familiarizing themselves with the updated photographs and description of Cavalcante, to check security cameras they have, and to call us immediately if they believe they may have seen him.
Cavalcante changed his appearance over the weekend, but reportedly reached out to people he knew for help. Americans gathered at Ground Zero today as tributes unfolded across the country to remember the nearly 3,000 people killed in the 9/11 terror attacks. WCBS TV's Dick Brennan is in New York.
Many are gathered by this reflecting pool here. Place a flag, a flower, a memento, something personal that can help them think back, not only on just the events of the day, but also their loved one. But today they say this memorial brings them peace as they reflect on the events of 22 years ago.
Vice President Kamala Harris joined that ceremony in New York. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was at the Pentagon.
We remain relentlessly focused on combating terrorist threats to America.
President Biden will join service members at a ceremony on a military base in Alaska in just a few hours. The FDA has approved new COVID boosters to combat a new strain of the virus that's now driving up cases in the U.S. A CDC advisory board will meet tomorrow to discuss who can get those shots. But after that, millions of doses are expected to be shipped to pharmacies and clinics nationwide. Gun advocates are suing New Mexico's governor.
New Mexico Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham is now facing lawsuits days after she said people cannot carry guns in public in and around some cities and counties for the next 30 days. Protests followed, including one Sunday in Albuquerque, where demonstrators walked around guns in hand.
This governor has overstepped her bounds big time with squashing our constitutional rights. It's time for it to stop.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
Days after a deadly earthquake in Morocco, rescue crews are still digging through debris for possible survivors. This man spoke through an interpreter from his village outside of Marrakesh.
The cliff fell on them. The people are still under the rubble, and no one can remove the stones, and the authorities haven't sent the equipment to remove them, as they haven't done so for 3 days. You can smell the corpses everywhere.
More than 2,600 people were killed in that quake. Thousands more are still missing. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
Not completing.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
This year's Chippewa Valley Restaurant Week will kick off this Friday, running from September 15th to Sunday, September 24th. Chippewa Valley residents will have a great opportunity to go out into the community and discover new restaurants they may not have come across naturally. A portion of the proceeds this year will go towards supporting the nonprofit Stepping Stones of Dunn County, and a full list of participating restaurants can be found on the Chippewa Valley Restaurant Week website. The Wisconsin State Senate is scheduled to vote today on whether they will fire the state's top elections official, Megan Wolf. The vote is complicated by potential legal issues, as the Wisconsin Elections Commission has not officially voted to nominate Wolf for a new term after the three Democratic members abstained. Republicans argue the abstention created a majority of the six-member commission to let them vote on Wolf's future, but Democratic Attorney General Josh Call and the legislature's attorneys argue that Wolf's appointment is not legally before the Senate because four votes are needed from the commission. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Dig out the Leader Housing. It's Oktoberfest in Hayward on Saturday, September 16th. This all-day fest features German food and beer, an axe-throwing contest, 50-50 raffle, and it wouldn't be the same without live polka music throughout the fest. Celebrate Oktoberfest in Hayward, Saturday, September 16th, 11 to 7 at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds Pavilion, and is brought to you by the Hayward Lions Club. More information at haywardoktoberfest.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I think the most important story right now is the continued efforts by the Republican Party in Wisconsin, increasing efforts to threaten to impeach Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court, try to sideline her. So it'll be a 3-3 split court, and they can get away with what they're doing on redistricting and everything else. I'm going to tell you a perspective, a little more aggressive perspective than other lawyers are saying, but I think is absolutely justified, absolutely correct. And here it is. In totalitarian countries, commie countries, Nazi countries, fascist countries, Adolf Hitler was a fascist and a Nazi. You have somebody like Stalin was a commie and a fascist, authoritarian, Mussolini a fascist. The characteristic of fascist governments is not just those, many of them around now, North Korea, so forth, even China. The characteristic is they give the appearance of following the law without the reality. And what do I mean by that? They hold elections. Their leaders run for, even in North Korea, believe it or not, Kim Jong-un runs for election. Putin runs for election. However, they usually win about 89 to 11, 90 to 10. And believe it or not, in North Korea, they just go through the facade so clumsily that Kim Jong-un wins with like 99%. There are like a handful of people who are told they can vote against him. In Russia, they have a judiciary. The judges are told what to do. So when Brittany Griner, for instance, or Paul Whelan, or one of the captives, comes up for a case, they pretend to go through. They have testimony. The judge knits his brow, and then he does what he was told to do by Putin's people. Then there are appeals. It all looks like the semblance of law. The Wisconsin legislature right now is very similar. It gets less than half the votes statewide, and it gets two-thirds in the assembly. It gets 65 seats out of 99, 65 seats, when it should get under 50. And they go through a charade. They want to impeach Janet Protasiewicz so that she doesn't hit on the redistricting case. She doesn't sit on it. They don't put in fair maps. And then eventually there'll be a Republican governor at some point in the next 4, 8, 12 years, whenever it is. and they can enshrine gerrymandering for the rest of at least half a century and maybe more, to the great detriment of the state. So they do a couple of things. There was one assemblyman, Republican, who came out and said, well, I wouldn't vote for it. Well, you know something? 15 of them are going to come out and say they wouldn't vote for it to save themselves in marginal districts. But 50 will be left, and 50 is one more than half of 99, and then they intend to impeach her. This is very much on track right now. Here is what I would do, and listen closely to this. There are three co-equal branches of government in this state. There's the judicial, headed by the Supreme Court. There's a legislative. There's the executive. You have somebody like Tony Evers, who's the head of the executive. He's the governor. Voss and LeMahieu are the respective heads in the legislatures. And the Supreme Court has seven justices. These are three heavyweights in a ring. What's happening right now is one of the three who are equal. The legislature is the equal of the judiciary, but not its superior. Not its superior. And there are statutes that govern their conduct. And one of the statutes is that the legislature may impeach a justice if she commits a crime while on the bench or an act of corruption while on the bench. Now, Janet Protasiewicz has committed no crime. Janet Protasiewicz has taken no actions on the bench. She's only been on the bench for about 5 weeks. She sat on a case or two. She hasn't issued a decision. She hasn't spoken about anything. She's committed no acts. The act that they are going to try to impeach her on are statements during the campaign when she was not in office, if we're not covered by the statute. And it was a statement of her values. And she did not say how she was going to rule on a case, but she said that she felt that the bids were rigged, or the maps were rigged. They are rigged. That's why there are 65 assemblymen who are Republicans when they should have about 48, 47. However, she has also said she'll read the briefs, she'll listen to the arguments, and she'll follow the law. You are entitled to reveal your values. Everybody does on abortion. Everybody does on abortion on both sides. Because they are proceeding to try to impeach her, what they're doing is a Putin type of thing, like a Putin lawsuit, a Putin appeal. They will impeach, and they won't say why. There'll be nothing covered by the statute. And then they will sit on it for several years before the Senate picks it up, just to take her off the bench. That's a Putin play. That's an authoritarian play. What I would do is, there are lawsuits pending right now on the maps. A lawsuit should be filed. And in this lawsuit, they should ask the Supreme Court to issue a declaratory judgment that an impeachment against Janet Protasiewicz that does not follow the statute is unconstitutional. It's invalid. And secondly, an injunction enjoining, forbidding the legislature to even issue articles of impeachment and the clerk to publish them until the legislature follows the statute and says, A, what crime has been committed, and B, what act of corruption has occurred in office by Janet Protasiewicz. Now, they'll laugh. They'll say, well, now, wait a minute. We have the right to impeach. No, you don't. You have the right under the statute to impeach for two things. That's it. You don't have the right to impeach for three things, or four things, or nothing, or a corrupt purpose. There will then be an injunction and a declaratory judgment. If they disobey that, that is contempt. And you may say, well, but they're a co-equal branch of government. Well, it's us for the goose, it's us for the gander. It works both ways. And one of the reasons to include the clerk, the administrative clerk, the clerk of the assembly, is because in administrative law, anytime you're in the territory of enjoining and issuing declarations and declaratory judgments against elected officials, there are people politically who try to contest that. But if it's a ministerial clerk, if it's somebody who is not in this hierarchy, he can be enjoined and he can be sent to jail if he commits contempt. it is time for the Supreme Court to stand up for itself, and I think it will. I have very, very high hopes, certainly for the four justices, and Brian Hagedorn has shown himself in the past to follow the Constitution. So when you have two heavyweights in a ring like this, they're the same size, they're the same importance, and one just punches the other for the hell of it, outside of the rules of boxing and the law, punch them back. You understand? Punch them back. And I'm speaking figuratively, of course. So in this case, there's another way to do it, is for nothing to happen that I've just discussed. And Janet Protasiewicz, with the impeachment, simply gets on the bench, walks, puts on her black robe, listens to the case. They can't stop her from doing that. They have no injunction power. They have no police power. And that is a way to do it. And at the very least, that is what should be done. She should not, under any circumstance, step down. This is an illegal impeachment. I want to say again, the impeachment is a limited impeachment. It's a limited impeachment right. It's circumscribed. It's not unlimited. Because remember this, when the Democratic majority and something like 8-10 Republicans went along with a bipartisan impeached Donald Trump over the insurrection, he didn't have to step down. This business of stepping down, is very rare. And the reason it's rare is the right to impeach is very limited. It's not unlimited. So when you have a heavyweight in the ring up against another heavyweight, and the heavyweight goes, well, I have the right under this statute to take out the other one just by saying they commit a crime or misconduct in office, and we don't even say what it was, that's not an impeachment under the statute. And if what they say it was that she won't recuse herself because of statements she made during the campaign, there's a 2017 Wisconsin Supreme Court decision that was a Republican majority. They were doing it to protect Gableman, that said the only person who can decide in their full discretion whether or not to recuse himself or herself is the justice. No one else. This has got to be repeated. If an illegal impeachment comes up that's unconstitutional, you don't have to wait 3 months or 3 years for LeMahieu to get around to put it in the Senate where it'll fail. They are trying to take her out, not just because of fair maps. For the abortion decision, right now there's going to be litigation over there trying to remove Megan Wolf. It is vital that Janet Protasiewicz stay on there. And it's vital for them all to understand that you can stop an illegal impeachment from the start. You don't have to go, oh, okay, okay. And I'm going to tell you something else. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again right now. It is imperative that Tony Evers, Josh Call, Tammy Baldwin, and Sarah Godlewski get behind this. And instead of these occasional, you know, pious little statements, I'm tired of pious statements, do a joint press conference and say this is an illegal effort to impeach. It's fraudulent. It's unconstitutional. We're not going to tolerate it. I think that Josh Call has some things he could do as well there. Among them, go after the fake electors. Let's get going here. But in the meantime, with Janet Protasiewicz, let's get the full weight of everybody in the state behind her, and not just the four individuals I've talked about, but responsible people in the legislature of both parties. We're coming to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the Flannel and Fire Fall Festival. There's a corn maze, s'mores station, flannel dress-up contest, and the Apple River Quilt Guild show, too. It's fall-focused and has been for more than 70
74 years. The Flannel and Fire Fall Festival, Thursday through Sunday, September 14th to the 17th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More info at AmoryFallFestival.org. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 71. For tonight, a few sprinkles, lows around 48. For Tuesday, partly sunny, a high near 65. Wednesday, sunshine with a high around 68. Thursday, sunshine and warmer, highs back to the mid-70s. Right now, 71 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for keeping us all informed. I mean, this is outrageous. It's pathetic. It's sick. And, you know, where are the people that are supposed to be protecting the rights of the people in our state? I mean, this is ludicrous. These people should be all locked up. They're abusing power, wasting taxpayer dollars, wasting taxpayer time. I mean, they're a bunch of criminals. And it just, you know, I call them. Chew them out as an old woman. Chew them out so I don't scare them like I'm going to come and get them or something. But God darn it, this is outrageous, Matt. And I don't know who can protect us or who can represent us, but I hope there's somebody out there that can, because this is just criminal beyond the pale. They cheat when they lose, and when they lose, they cheat, and they abuse their power, and they think that they're just, I mean, and they're... they're not held accountable. I don't get it, Matt. Anyway, sorry, but right. Thank you so much. This is just outrageous. I'm fuming, Matt. I'm fuming. Thank you. Keep up the great work and for me, everybody.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Gene. Yeah, I mean, let's just put this in the perspective. They have the appearance of law in Russia. There'll be a, quote, trial, end quote, for Brittany Griner, Paul Whelan. Then there'll be a, quote, appeal. It's all fake. Well, American law, U.S. law, Wisconsin law is not a fake, and it shouldn't be a fake. Wisconsin has an unusual impeachment statute. It says the legislature can impeach, the Senate by 2/3 can convict, if it can convict. And at the minute the individual is impeached, they have to step down. That's what it says. That's not true in federal impeachment law. When Trump was impeached twice, he didn't step down. He wouldn't have had to step down until he had been convicted in the Senate. That's the way it normally works. So why does the Wisconsin statute demand the step down? Because it's such a restrictive impeachment right that it almost can't be exercised unless somebody's caught red-handed committing a crime or doing something corrupt in office. And it also contemplates that you have an honest Senate who would then immediately take it up to see if it was sufficient to convict. Here, they're playing Putin law. They're taking a severely restrictive, very restrictive impeachment right, which is limited to two things: commission of a crime or corruption in office. Not corruption before office or out of office, corruption in office. And the sanction is hard. You have to step down. But what happens if you have a dishonest legislature doing this? What happens if you have a corrupt legislature doing this? trying to take out a non-corrupt, honest justice who is trying to put an end to corruption. That's what's happening right now. That's what's happening right now. The way to do it is they are both heavyweights. And the governor's the third heavyweight. They're all in the ring together. They're all in the ring together. One doesn't just walk up to the other and hit him in the face. That's not in the law. They are all supposed to work together. But when one of them does do it, the legislature, they are not superior to the Supreme Court. They are not superior to the Supreme Court. And when that happens, the Supreme Court is in its rights to go back and say, you have a very restricted impeachment right, very rare, not at all like the federal one. And it limits you to two things. You have 10 days to send us a brief, and unfortunately, they'll use taxpayer money again and pay high-priced Republican lawyers, but they're going to do, you know, they've been doing this with Gableman and everything else. You have 10 days to set out in a brief the crime that Janet Protasiewicz has committed. By the way, you go on CCAP, there's no crime. Number two, you have 10 days in that brief to show what corruption in office was committed by Janet Protasiewicz. There is none. She's done nothing, good or bad, in office. She's read the briefs. That's good. She's done her job. The best they could say, if they say we're not going to tell you, that is an illegality in and of itself. They've disobeyed the court's order. They have to obey the court's order. They're heavyweights, equal heavyweights. They got to obey the court's order. And then Janet just says, well, we're staying on the bench. But they're going to come through and say she should recuse herself because of comments she made in her campaign. We'll take a look at it. What she said during the campaign was that she believed the maps are rigged, but she will give it a fair hearing. They can put their briefs in and all that, but it's certainly on the surface. That's what it looks like to her. It's also what it looks like to me and everybody in the state. Also, they will say, there's a 2017 Supreme Court opinion that says she's the only one to decide if she should recuse herself. Gableman didn't recuse himself. Rebecca Grassl Bradley, who has also said the maps look great to her, isn't recusing herself. Janet Protasiewicz can decide. But then if they say, well, that is corruption in office, well, number one, it wasn't when she was in office. And number two, it's not corruption because the Wisconsin Judicial Commission just cleared her. Remember the other day? The Wisconsin Judicial Commission just cleared her after the Republicans brought a complaint. If then they go ahead and say, well, no, we're going to impeach her anyway, an injunction must be issued against the legislature, stopping them from doing that, and including the clerk. And a declaratory judgment must be issued stating that Janet Protasiewicz may not be impeached on the grounds that they have set out because it's unconstitutional. If they disobey her, the clerk, who will be enjoined from publishing it, should be held in contempt. Voss should be held in contempt. And the leadership in the Republican Party should be held in contempt. That's what's got to happen. Let's just get down to this and ducks and bunnies. Enough of this stuff. Well, oh, well, you know, people have got to look at the reason behind this Wisconsin statute, its limited availability, and what the remedy is to stop an illegal, corrupt legislature, a gerrymandered legislature, from trying to perpetuate itself in office. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. It's been 22 years since 9/11, and commemorations are happening today at the Pentagon, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and Ground Zero in New York. Mayor Eric Adams says the city remains strong.
Those who thought they were going to break the spirit of who we are they learned something extremely different about not only the country in general, but specifically about New York City.
Volunteers are still trying to reach people affected by a deadly earthquake in Morocco. CBS's Chris Livesay.
Untold victims remain trapped in areas cut off from aid, where winding roads and landslides make much of the quake zone difficult and in some cases impossible to reach so far.
The U.S. says Russia's meeting with North Korea in a desperate cry for help in Ukraine. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
In terms of what it means going forward, I think obviously it means that he is having trouble sustaining the military effort and so is looking for help from North Korea.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Some Wisconsin Republican lawmakers are hesitating to vote on impeaching newly elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Representative Scott Johnson said in a statement, quote, "Elections have consequences. I will be honest in saying that I would encourage the justice to recuse herself from this case. However, I will not vote in favor of impeachment." Other Republican lawmakers have called to impeach Justice Protasiewicz over campaign statements regarding Wisconsin's electoral districts. A petition from Legal Action of Wisconsin seeks to decrease the amount of time eviction records are kept amid the impeachment threats surrounding the new liberal majority Supreme Court. The group seeks to change the rules so eviction records would be kept for only 1 year in cases where there was no monetary judgment against a tenant and be scrubbed from the Wisconsin Circuit Court website. Currently, eviction records must be maintained for 20 years after the close of a case. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a
week.
Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Joe.
Terrific analysis, and I really, really appreciate it, Matt. I had some questions, three in total, as I go through the outline that you have stated how this might work. So basically, the legislature says we're going to impeach Janet Protasiewicz, okay? So is it true then that they have you? Can they just vote right away? We're going to do this. You were speaking of the fact that they need to set out in a brief, and there is 10 days attached to this. Where does that brief go? Is it presented to the whole of the assembly, or does it go to the Supreme Court? I was confused about that. So that was one question I had. The second was you come into the situation of saying that there are two points that she could be impeached upon with Wisconsin state law, constitutional law, and it says either a crime, and as you said, you could look at CCAP, there's no evidence of a crime. How about in the situation of corruption, though? Does she have to be convicted of corruption, or can it just be Voss's allegation that she is corrupt, or the legislature's assembly's allegation that she is corrupt? What is the evidence of corruption that would be, need to be, how is it delivered, I guess, to the assembly? And then the next question I would have is, how does this go? Does the assembly just say, we're voting on an impeachment, and we've just passed out what the charges are to the whole of the assembly, and we're voting up or down right now? Can they do that, or is there time delays, or what are the procedures that have to go through? And I guess the reason why, many reasons why that's important, but one reason why that's important is then how does that go? Because I would imagine that the, whatever lawsuits that are maybe filed against this would need to be addressing exactly what the what is in their documents or what in their charges and how it's presented. And so how where are the timelines and how does that go? Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Can they just start tomorrow and say we're impeaching her, period, and we aren't even sending out any information? It's in a piece of paper, and that's enough. Can you expand a little bit on that, Matt? And I really, really appreciate your detail and your thoughts on how this might go and how people may challenge this. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Sure. No, excellent, excellent questions. I'll hit them all in order. And the first question was this brief, who does it go to? You know, how's it going to be prepared and who's going to decide and who's going to go to? Secondly, on the crime, you look at CCAP, there's no crime. So does it have to be a conviction, a criminal conviction? And the third one would be the timing and the procedure. In other words, can the assembly just rush right in tomorrow and do it? Is it too late and all that? And the answer is in Wisconsin civil procedure, there is a provision for a thing called a declaratory judgment. There's a thing called a injunction, and then also a temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction. Now, the way this would work is that somebody would start a lawsuit asking for a declaratory judgment, and it would be somebody who thought that Janet Protasiewicz should not be impeached. In other words, some good government group, and who would have standing, and they would say, we're taxpayers, we're voters, and she should not be impeached. I voted for her, et cetera. And we would like a declaratory judgment, and we would like a temporary restraining order stopping them, preliminary injunction, and then a permanent injunction prohibiting them. Now, under the law, you have to have a case or controversy, which means you can't just do this out of the blue. But if injury is imminent, if a tort or a crime is imminent, if an unconstitutional or illegal act is imminent, and you can show that, you can ask for this relief. This is what's called equitable relief. It's not damages, it's equitable relief. It's an injunction, declaratory judgment. And here it is imminent. Every day I pick up the paper and it says they're moving forward. More and more of their leadership are saying they're going to do it. You do not have to wait for the actual impeachment. So that lawsuit should be filed right away. Now, normally it would go to a circuit court. Then it goes to the Court of Appeals, then the Supreme Court, and everybody yawns because that would take a year. You can ask in the pleading, in the complaint, for the declaratory judgment and the temporary restraint order and preliminary injunction that the Supreme Court take original jurisdiction. In other words, it goes right to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court can do that. It doesn't do it often. Obviously, it doesn't want to be clogged up with trial work. But there's nothing more suitable for original jurisdiction than people's trying to take out one of seven justices. I can't think of anything more important for original jurisdiction. They would take original jurisdiction. It would at least be a 4-3 vote. And if Hagedorn, I think, stood by his values, it would be a 5-2 vote. Then they function as the court of first resort, as well as the court of last resort. They are the trial court in that sense, even though there's not going to be a trial. They can issue any order they want. They should issue an order giving the legislature a very brief period of time, 10 days. If the legislature wants 30 days, fine. And the allegation has been made in this complaint by this good government group, hypothetically, that there are people in the legislature, perhaps a majority, who will impeach her for a corrupt purpose because she's committed no crime and she's not had any corrupt acts in office. And it's further alleged that they're in cahoots with the state Senate, which is also corrupt and in gerrymandered, and they're going to sit on it like they did with Fred Prynne, just to keep her off the court. And they can further say the injury is the abortion case, redistricting, Megan Wolf, and a lot of other things. That's why they are doing it. If the Supreme Court accepts what I'm saying, they will send an order saying a briefing schedule. Legislature, you have 30 days, 10 days, whatever, to respond to this. In the meantime, we're issuing a temporary restraining order. A temporary restraining order has all of the force of an injunction, but it's temporary. But pending your brief and pending our further decision, you are forbidden to go forward with an impeachment, and you, clerk, are forbidden because you want to get your hooks in somebody who's not elected. You are forbidden from publishing it or in any respect taking action to support it. Who are they going to appeal to? A temporary restraining order is immediately appealable in the law. But there's no higher court than the Wisconsin Supreme Court other than the U.S. Supreme Court. And they are limited in their jurisdiction to federal issues. They may not interfere with the state issue. This is a purely state issue. It's a construction of a statute giving impeachment right to our legislature. They will write a brief. This brief will come in 10 days, 30 days, whatever the author, the deadline is. And then the other side usually would have a 15-day response period. That would be the good government group. And they will say, we repeat, pursuant to the affidavit we put in with our complaint, here's our CCAP printout. She has no crime. And she has committed no corrupt acts in office. And Joe, you asked, does it have to be a conviction of corruption? No, it doesn't. And normally, politically, if you had more even legislatures, nobody is going to go after somebody for corruption in office unless they actually are very corrupt, took money, maybe were convicted or now been indicted and so on. You remember that McCarthy and these people say, well, we're not going to do anything with Trump unless he's actually, or anybody that they want to remove unless he's actually convicted. But here you have a corrupt legislature that's gerrymandered, and they're not going to wait for that. So you say, what is the corruption? And they'll say, we don't have to have a conviction. You'll say, right, you don't. What is it, though? Well, she hasn't done anything in office. Well, that's true. Well, she said some things in the campaign. Well, the Wisconsin Judicial Commission exonerated her, and number one. Number two, under the Supreme Court decision in 2017, she alone has to decide on recusal. Recusal is different from impeachment. Recusal is different from impeachment. Impeachment is very serious because under our impeachment laws, you can be throw them out right away before they're even convicted, unlike federal impeachment. But that harsh result has a very, very harsh circumscribed requirements. And those are, you can only do it for two things, not a whole ton of things. And she has done neither. Then they might give oral argument, and Janet will sit on that oral argument. All seven of them will sit on it. And some Republican lawyer being paid by your tax dollars will get up on his hind legs, and he will sniff the air, and he will say in court, blah, blah, blah. And then whoever represents the good government group will say, blah, blah, blah. The Supreme Court will ask questions. I've appeared before the Supreme, not this one, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court prior justices many times, and the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, and the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, and federal courts and state courts around the country. They ask questions. They interrupt you. They're not even polite. They don't have to ask your permission. They cut you right off, and then, wait a minute, what about this? Then they'll issue a decision. They'll go into chambers. And the TRO, the temporary restraining order, is still in effect. She can't be impeached, or she can't be impeached. They'll sit in there. Four of the seven will say this is an illegal impeachment. This is a very, very severe impeachment power to remove somebody before conviction, but its corresponding obligation is that it's only two things. Now, I know that Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Grassl Bradley will do the Republican Party's bidding. What about Brian Hagedorn? I don't know. Brian Hagedorn is a Republican. But he did the right thing in certifying Biden and standing up to Trump, and he took a lot of grief. I don't know. But it's very possible he would say, no, she can't be impeached. But even if he didn't, it's 4-3. They'd issue an opinion. They say that we grant the relief requested, the declaratory judgment. We declare that on the facts as presented by the legislature, absent a crime or corruption in office, she can't be impeached. We enter a permanent injunction that there not be proceedings of impeachment based on crime. In this particular case, there was none, or based on corruption in office. Obviously, in the future, if they come up with a different corruption in office, fine. But it's got to be actual corruption in office, not a decision they don't like. So, Joe, that's the way it would work. And I think, quite frankly, people say it's aggressive. I say, what do you mean? You don't think what Voss is doing is aggressive? What Trump's, what all these people do is aggressive? They are simply doing the appearance of law in a Putin fashion. Yeah, there's a trial in Moscow. There's an appeal in Moscow. There's an election. Oh, yeah, all this stuff. It's a fake. It's a fake. Voss is a fake. LeMahieu is a fake. This is all designed so that she will not vote on redistricting, on abortion, on Megan Wolf, and anything that threatens their power, their corrupt power. It's a fake. We don't have to put up with a fake. We do not have to put up with a fake. So the way we handle it is in our legal system, which is a complaint is filed. It's a good government group of some sort or people that are standing. And they ask for declaratory judgment, temporary restraining order, preliminary and permanent injunction, barring the legislature and its clerk from proceeding with impeachment against Janet Protasiewicz right now based on crime or based on corruption in office. And that is about as direct as I can be. That remedy exists. I've tried a number of these injunction, TROs, preliminary injunction, declaratory judgment statutes, statutory cases. And you do not have to wait for the injury. You do not have to wait for them to sink the knife in you before you ask for an injunction and declaratory judgment that they shouldn't sink a knife into you. If it is imminent, and that's a decision that the judge makes, not the legislature. And anybody fairly looking at this, and I'm fairly looking at this, anybody fairly looking at this will say it's imminent. How many times do you have to read it in the paper, listen to it on the radio, watch it on TV? Listen to one of these people shoot his mouth off. They are doing it because they are gerrymandered and they want to stay gerrymandered, and they are doing a fake process. And in America, you don't do a fake process. In Moscow, you do a fake process. In America, you do not do a fake process. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower or two tonight, and lows in the upper 40s. There could be an early shower tomorrow, then sunshine and upper 60s for the afternoon. Lots of sunshine for Wednesday and a high near 70 degrees and warming all the way up into the upper 70s Thursday as sun continues. Right now it's 73.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me shift to a different court. An astounding revelation has just come out. Remember back in 2010, Citizens United was issued that basically said that anybody could give as much money as they wanted in secret. It could be corporations, it could be anybody. And I'm overstating it a little bit, but not a lot. Corporations give money. People can give money, not say who's giving it to them, pumping it into the Republican Party. 2010, 5-4 decision. Clarence Thomas cast the deciding vote. 2010. It just came out that his wife, Ginny Thomas, 2 months before that decision came out, laid the groundwork for a nonprofit along with Leonard Leo, who's now the Federalist Society guy, with $500,000 seed money from Harlan Crow, who's given a lot of money to Clarence Thomas and his wife over the years. It was the start of a billion-dollar network that moved money into conservative caucuses and took advantage of Citizens United. But wait. I just said Citizens United didn't come out till 2 months later. How did they know to set something up? How did Harlan Crow know that, well, what the hell? I'm going to put in $500,000 to take advantage of a decision that hadn't come out. Supreme Court decisions are supposed to be confidential. The point was that Clarence Thomas, obviously, told his wife, and perhaps told Harlan Crow and Leonard Leo himself, or had him or her tell him, hey, there's a really terrific decision coming out in 2 months. We can do a lot of this stuff that's presently illegal. Let's get it started. Citizens United is an illegitimate decision. Citizens United is a corrupt decision. Clarence Thomas and his wife have been taking a lot of money, not a little money, a lot of money, from Harlan Crow and other billionaires now for a long, long time. And everything, every social objective, and every, and frankly, taxation and any other kind of objective that this right-wing group of billionaire donors wants this guy, Clarence Thomas, has voted for. He voted in Shelby County to gut the Voting Rights Act, which is why we have gerrymandering in a lot of places in the South, why we have laws in Texas, laws in Florida, laws elsewhere, criminalizing voting for good faith mistakes. Stupid laws, like in Texas, where if you, quote, block the view of the voter from one of the thugs that they now permit to be in there as election observers, that is a crime. If a woman's 8 months pregnant and standing in line to vote for 5 hours in the sun in Georgia, and you hand her a bottle of water because she's faint, that's a criminal offense. So he did Shelby County. He did Citizens United 5-4. These are all 5-4. He's the guy, swing guy. He did Dobbs. Getting rid of Roe v. Wade was 5-4. He did Dobbs. What do you do when you have a corrupt justice, at least one corrupt justice? Several of them have taken money. He's not the only one up there. And his wife's taking money. What do you do if you have a corrupt justice who is relying on the sterling reputation of a Supreme Court that's 200 years old to get everybody to obey him when the fix is in? The game was rigged. The umps were bribed. How does that change? He's been in 30 years and he's only in his early 70s. He'll be in 20 more years. This is what's happening. And then you take a look at Dobbs, and the inside word was that Kavanaugh was starting to listen to Rogers and say, okay, I'll uphold the 15-week ban in Mississippi, but I won't get rid of Roe v. Wade. But he'd already signed on to it in the draft, and suddenly it got leaked. Alito, before that, had leaked the Hobby Lobby case, Hobby Lobby preliminary decision to a right-wing donor of the Republican Party. That's not disputed. They did it to squeeze Kavanaugh so he couldn't change his mind. We have a corrupt Supreme Court. We have six tarantulas. But we don't want to lose the reputation of the Supreme Court, which is built over 200 years, because we do need a Supreme Court to decide difficult things in the future. That's the challenge that's facing us. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Well, thanks for your show today, Matt. It's always very informative. These rulings by Clarence Thomas have actually changed history in elections. That's a pretty serious deal, in my opinion. Is that correct? It probably has effect for conservatives winning power with these rulings. Thanks for taking my call.
Right, there's no question. And if you take a look at all of these cases and the composition, there's one thing that people will say if you want to really dig down and look at all the details. There are wealthy Democrats, and so what's happened is you have a flood of dark money coming into both parties. And the fact of the matter is that has corrupted our country's politics badly. Yes, it has given an edge to the Republicans, because in the aggregate, they have an enormous amount of money, but there are Democratic billionaires. The problem is when they make early selections, whoever they select in a primary, that's the ballgame. And who appointed them to be God? Who appointed them to decide what's best? That's why you want democracy. You want millions of little decisions made by average people. That's what produces the best leaders. I mean, Abraham Lincoln never would have gotten nominated even in this kind of a situation. So you're absolutely right. It was very corrupt, and this is what happened. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Some great callers. But the Janet Protasiewicz impeachment is top of the importance in this list. And I really want to see Evers call Baldwin and Godlewski stand together in a press conference and say that this is a corrupt impeachment and we're not going to stand for it. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Great show, Matt.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.